brought to you by Penguin.
Unshrinking: How to Fight Fat Phobia. Written and read by Kate Mann.
To my parents who let me be. Not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced. James Baldwin, As Much Truth as One Can Bear, 1962. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Mary Oliver, Wild Geese, 1986. I do not owe you shrinking. Rachel Wiley, Fat Joke, 2017. A content note. Please note that this book contains frank descriptions of fat phobia in its intersections with racism, misogyny, ableism, transphobia, and discussions of dieting, disordered eating, and body norms that may be triggering for some readers. Please take care. Introduction. Fighting Weight. I should have been thrilled. My first book, which I wrote as an academic text, expecting an audience of just dozens, had been sold in paperback to a major UK publisher. A study of misogyny, Down Girl, Canvas Strangulation, Sexual Harassment, Sexual Assault, and Rape Culture. I wanted to get the word out, to talk about these issues that matter to me more than almost anything. But when my editor suggested an all-expenses-paid publicity tour of London, with bookstore readings and television appearances, I flinched from the prospect. I felt too fat to be a feminist in public. I felt too big to speak out about the down girl moves that teach girls and women to be small, meek, and quiet. And as acutely aware as I was of the irony, it wasn't enough to shift my thinking in the moment. The Australian author Helen Garner once remarked that she felt the need to get down to her fighting weight before embarking on a publicity tour. I cursed myself for not doing that, and in fact being at my heaviest. I clocked in then, in early 2019, at a weight that made me, quote-unquote, severely obese, according to the BMI chart my doctor pointed to, frowning. My book had first come out late in 2017, the very week that Tarana Burke's Me Too movement was popularized by celebrities. And so, much to my surprise, I found myself talking to journalists about misogyny almost daily. But I would not allow camera crews to come to my home or office. I hid my body from the public eye by only ever appearing on camera via Skype so I could control the angle. I had a handful of carefully curated headshots from when I was thinner, though I've never been thin in my adult life, that I used for every interview. I would agree to give interviews only when they promised to use one of them, rather than sending their own photographer. Sometimes this was a battle. When I gave talks, I asked audience members not to take any photos. When people occasionally took them anyway and posted them on social media, I begged them to take them down. I explained in a partial truth that I was subject to a lot of misogynist trolling and that new photos of me that appeared online would attract mockery and vitriol. And indeed, I'd been called a bitch and worse too many times to mention. Dumb cunt writing dumb things was one of the first tweets I saw after publishing my first New York Times piece. And subject to anti-Semitic slurs, too. Your people will burn in ovens now, someone DM'd me the night Trump was elected. Rape threats are not uncommon in my little corner of the internet. But there was one reaction I really dreaded. Being called fat. Which I was. I was fat, but I couldn't hear it, not even in my own voice, without wanting to disappear myself. I knew that would be all it took to silence me. You might expect that as a lifelong feminist, not to mention the author of now two books on misogyny, I would be one of the last people to be suckered into policing my own body and trying to force it into a size and shape more acceptable to the patriarchy. You'd be wrong about that.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?